Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. Diabetes Self-Management describes itself as a health magazine that provides readers with up-to-date practical information on nutrition, exercise, new medications, self-help, medical advances, and other topics that they should know about to stay healthy. From the December 2018 issue, we will hear from Adam Schefter about living with type 1 diabetes, tips on finding and maintaining balance during the holidays, a quiz about the different types of diabetes, along with some shorter columns on medications and research. And we will start out in the T1D zone with ESPN's Adam Schefter. And this article is written by Maureen McCarthy. Sundays in November are far from restful for ESPN's Adam Schefter. During football season, the famed NFL analyst leaves his New York home at 5:30 a.m. and travels 2 hours to the ESPN studios in Bristol, Connecticut. Here, the television magic starts. With phone in hand, a device he often refers to during live NFL coverage, Schefter researches, monitors, and calculates stats, reviews, replays, and scrutinizes games, and follows up on tips and players' injuries. His goal is succinct, to deliver breaking news and cutting-edge analysis of the NFL's biggest day of the week. The NFL is the most popular sport in the country, and my job is to follow up on every significant issue that occurs in the NFL, whether it's a trade, an injury, a new development, or a trend, whatever it may be, says Schefter during the August preseason interview. My days are filled with, what I like to say, is babysitting the sport, making sure everything is okay and checking to see if anything goes wrong. Repeat again Monday. It's Groundhog Day in a good way every single week during football season, says Schefter, who covers Monday Night Football on SportsCenter, NFL Live, Monday Night Countdown, and more. I love these days and weeks because each has a different storyline, different games, different results, and unpredictable happenstances. Schefter will quickly tell you he loves his job and is grateful to be where he is today. But his passion extends well beyond game day and touchdowns. His family is his epicenter, and his philanthropic mission is to raise type 1 diabetes, T1D, awareness. There are constants, and the constants in my life are my family, Sherry, our family, and her fight against type 1, says Schefter, a Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, JDRF, ambassador since 2016. Our hope is to continue to raise funds and awareness around T1D and hopefully find a cure for the disease. Schefter met his wife, Sherry Mayo, on a blind date in 2006. When recalling their first meeting, he says he felt an immediate connection. There was, I believe, an instant chemistry because shortly after we began dating, Sherry started wearing her insulin pump, which she was always apprehensive about wearing, he says, recalling the couple's beginnings. I think we were comfortable enough with each other that she basically knew it was the best and right thing to do. Now she's had that pump on as long as we've been together, which is over 12 years. Several years prior to the couple's 2006 blind date, Sherry suffered great loss. The young mother of then one-year-old son Devon lost her husband and Devon's father, Joe Mayo, during the September 11, 2001 attacks in New York City. Joe was one of 2,606 people who died in the World Trade Center and surrounding area that fateful day. While pregnant with Devon, Sherry developed gestational diabetes, a condition in which the body cannot make the extra insulin needed during pregnancy. 1 year after Joe's passing, Sherry experienced another life-altering event. She was diagnosed with adult-onset type 1 diabetes. Every challenge that has been thrown Sherry's way, she has overcome and then some, Schefter says. She is the strongest woman I know, and T1D is no match for her. Adam and Sherry married in 2007, and their family grew from three to four. In 2008, the Schefters welcomed their daughter Dylan into the world. When the ESPN commentator talks about his family and being a dad to Devin, 20, and Dylan, now 10, he beams with pride. When speaking of his beloved wife, her loss, and managing T1D, several words come into play. Amazing, courageous, and strong. Another thing that is amazing about my wife, she takes on her life and the hand she's been dealt and never wonders, why me, he says. When it comes to managing her diabetes, Schefter says Sherry battles T1D with great courage and determination and has the greatest admiration from me about the way she attacks the disease. When discussing his role as a JDRF ambassador, Schefter believes his family's experiences with T1D, coupled with his celebrity, can be a powerful and rewarding force in the fight against the disorder that affects 1.25 million Americans. In 2015, Schefter attended the JDRF Children's Congress held in Washington, D.C., serving as a T1D role model. The veteran television personality hosted the Town Hall Forum, an event that gives children and families the opportunity to learn about the disease and interact with T1D role models. The experience was inspiring for all involved, especially for Schefter. When I went down to Washington, I was with so many young children living with T1D, fighting so bravely and courageously. Just to be a part of that community, it's almost like a fraternity. People who have type 1 and the people who've been touched by it, he says, and I feel included in that fraternity. When describing his goals for the near and distant future professionally, Schefter is tackling the 2018 NFL football season with great intensity and has his sights set on Super Bowl Sunday, the one game he attends each season. When probed, Schefter even made a preseason prediction. My August Super Bowl prediction is Jacksonville and New Orleans, Schefter says, followed with a chuckle. But let me be very clear. It's August 20th, and this story will run in November. I'm either going to look really smart or really stupid. Personally, Schefter says it's all about his family. Philanthropically, he is determined to keep the T1D conversation and the need for a cure in the spotlight. My hope is to bring greater awareness to the disease and the importance of research, which could one day eradicate type 1 diabetes. It's personal, and I want to do all I can help. And there's a small column about T1D. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease in which insulin-producing beta cells in the pancreas are mistakenly destroyed by the body's immune system. T1D appears to have a genetic component and can be diagnosed early in life, but also in adulthood. Its cause is not fully known, and no cure currently exists. People with T1D are dependent on injected or pumped insulin to survive. We go to the news and notes section of this Diabetes Self-Management magazine. And the first little column there is detecting nerve damage. Researchers in Sweden say a procedure they've developed might make it possible to detect nerve damage in people with type 2 diabetes more quickly than ever before. According to Olaf Rolandsson, MD, PhD of Umeå University, although there is currently no cure, it's always an advantage to detect changes in the nerves early. Therefore, it's valuable to find a fast and safe diagnostic method. The procedure involves using a microscope to examine the cornea of the eye. Diabetes can lead to nerve damage, most commonly in feet, but also in other places of the body, including the skin and the eyes. Because the cornea of the eye is transparent, researchers have determined that it's one of the best places to study nerve damage. For their study, the researchers enlisted 82 people around 69 years old. About half had type 2 diabetes and half didn't. Using the unique microscope, which is able to create three-dimensional images of corneal nerves, the researchers examined the subjects' eyes. The examinations took 10 minutes with no discomfort to the patients. The researchers discovered that compared to the people without diabetes, the density of the corneal nerve was lower in people with type 2 diabetes, and that the longer the patients had had diabetes, the greater the reduction in nerve density. In people with diabetes for more than 10 years, the density was especially low. In the hope that their newly developed procedure might someday be used in general medical practice, the researchers created an automated analysis program for that purpose. According to Rowlandson, there are good conditions for this new diagnostic method to be widely introduced in healthcare. Next, we have new insulin pump and glucose monitor combo. Tandem Diabetes Care, a San Diego-based technology company specializing in products for people with diabetes, has announced that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved its new T-Slim X2 insulin pump with basal IQ technology. According to Kim Blickenstaff, president and CEO of Tandem, the T-Slim X2 pump with basal IQ technology was designed to predict and help prevent time spent low using best-in-class CGM technology. As the first company to launch a touchscreen insulin pump capable of remote feature updates, and now the first to have a pump approved by iCGM compatibility, we are delivering new innovation to our customers at a pace that is unprecedented in our industry. The T-Slim X2 with basal IQ technology, which is approved for patients as young as 6, works by receiving data directly from the new Dexcom G6 CGM transmitter, which does not require fingerstick calibration. The system has the ability to predict low glucose levels 30 minutes in advance and suspend insulin delivery, helping reduce the frequency and duration of hypoglycemia, low blood glucose. Users can see their data by using an app installed on their smartphones. The data can also be sent directly to the T-Slim X2 insulin pump screen, where it can be used to facilitate dosing decisions. Next, we have a quiz. And I got to tell you, this seemed like a really hard quiz to me. It's titled, How Much Do You Know About the Different Types of Diabetes? We're all familiar with different types of diabetes and diabetes-related conditions that affect blood sugar. Test yourself with this quiz. Number one, in which of the following conditions is diabetes a manifestation of an autoimmune disorder of the liver? A, Tourette's syndrome, B, hemochromatosis, C, rheumatoid arthritis, or D, ulcerative colitis? And the answer is B, bronze diabetes, a condition in which a person develops hyperglycemia and the skin carries orange or bronze hue, is a sign of hemochromatosis, an autoimmune disorder in which the liver accumulates and stores excess iron, according to the American Diabetes Association. Question number two, fill in the blank. Children born to mothers who developed gestational diabetes during the pregnancy are, blank times, more likely to develop diabetes than children whose mothers did not develop gestational diabetes while carrying them. A, 3 times, B, 4 times, C, 5 times, D, 6 times. And the answer is D. Children born to mothers who developed gestational diabetes during their pregnancies are 6 times more likely to develop diabetes than children born to mothers who did not develop gestational diabetes during their pregnancies, according to a 2014 study published by Yale University School of Medicine. Question 3. Which of the following is a slow-developing form of type 1 diabetes frequently mistaken for type 2 diabetes? A, Alzheimer's disease, B, cystic fibrosis-related diabetes, C, monogenic diabetes, and D, gestational diabetes. And the answer to 3 is C. The term monogenic diabetes actually refers to a group of genetic disorders in which a single gene results in diabetes. When initially found in adults, it is frequently mistaken for type 2 diabetes, according to the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Disorders. Question number 4. Which of the following are key differences between neonatal diabetes mellitus, NDM, and maturity onset diabetes of the young, MODY? A, NDM occurs shortly after birth, while MODY typically manifests during adolescence and adulthood. B, diagnosis must be confirmed with genetic testing. C, NDM may be either temporary or permanent. D, people who have MODY only find out they have diabetes when their blood sugar tests come back high because they never have any symptoms. And the answer to number four is A and B. Both neonatal diabetes mellitus, NDM, and maturity onset diabetes of the young, MODY, are forms of monogenic diabetes, or diabetes is caused by one gene. However, NDM usually appears during the first 6 to 12 months of a child's life, while MODY typically appears during adolescence and adult years. Some people who have MODY never have any symptoms. Some people who develop NDM have it throughout their lives, called permanent neonatal diabetes mellitus, while others' NDM may go away after a period of time, transient neonatal diabetes mellitus. The majority of diabetes cases diagnosed during the first 6 months of life are caused by some genetic disorder or abnormality, according to the NIDDK. However, both NDM and MODY require genetic testing to confirm the diagnoses. And we go to the last question, number five. Mental and psychological disorders may frequently occur in people with diabetes who have which of the following genetic disorder? A, hereditary pancreatitis. B, latent autoimmune diabetes in adults, LADA. C, type 1 diabetes. D, Wolfram syndrome. And the answer to our last question, five, is D, a genetic disorder caused by a mutation in the WFSI gene. Wolfram syndrome has two key features: high blood sugar levels, most people who have it are diagnosed with diabetes by age 6, and nerve degeneration that leads to a gradual loss of vision. Visual problems start to appear around age 11. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine's genetic home reference, additional signs frequently accompany Wolfram syndrome. Among these signs are neurological and psychiatric disturbances that include trouble with bladder control, difficulty maintaining balance, and inability to control breathing that results in irregular breathing patterns. Young boys may experience delays in sexual development or trouble in sexual functioning. About 65% of people who have Wolfram syndrome face hearing loss, which often begins by puberty. Our next column is choosing over-the-counter meds. Go into just about any drugstore and you'll find row after row of all kinds of medicines. It can be confusing for anyone, but perhaps even more so for people with diabetes. To help patients with this predicament, a professor at the Southern Illinois University School of Pharmacy recently delivered a report on what people with diabetes need to know about over-the-counter or OTC medications. As Miranda Wilhelm, PharmD, speaking at the annual meeting of the American Association of Diabetes Educators, told her audience, "Just because you can get it without talking to your doctor doesn't mean it's safer." One of the first concerns about OTC meds is carbohydrates, including sugar, that are present in the products but not listed on the label. "It's a dilemma," Wilhelm said, "because in some cases the carbs are so high it's equivalent to a snack." She added, however, that if a user's glucose levels are under control, it's probably fine to take carb-containing OTC meds for a few days. "Even so," she said, "if you're concerned about your blood sugar levels, look for medicines labeled sugar-free or for people with diabetes. Sugar content is just one reason it's important to read the label." Wilhelm also suggested that diabetes patients might want to choose pills instead of liquids. That's because liquid medicines typically contain more carbs. Liquids might also contain alcohol, sometimes as much as a glass of wine. She also advised considering topical medicines, which don't enter the bloodstream, over ones that are swallowed. For example, a nasal spray might be preferable to congestion relief taken orally. Similarly, ice or or a pain cream might be a better choice. Similarly, ice or a pain cream might be a better choice than a painkiller in pill form. Finally, she said, get recommendations from healthcare professionals. Your doctor, of course, but also your pharmacist. And we will go on to some holiday tips. At this point, we've gone past Thanksgiving, but that leaves us with New Year's and Christmas. Eat, drink, and be healthy. 12 tips to find and maintain balance during the holiday season. And this comes from Laura Hieronymus. Wow, she has a lot of letters behind her name. DNP, MSED, RN, MLDE, BCADM, CDE, FAADE. The holiday season for many is a special time for family gatherings, gift shopping, and spiritual renewal. For those managing diabetes, the joy of the holiday season may also have its challenges, including difficult-to-manage blood glucose levels, extra pounds, and fatigue and stress associated with trying to engineer the picture-perfect celebration. When you're managing diabetes, a condition affecting over 30 million Americans, maintaining good health and keeping stress at bay are important. The easiest way to do this is to plan ahead. Here are some tips to help you maneuver the holiday maze while maintaining a healthy, diabetes-friendly lifestyle. Food is one of the greatest pleasures in life and often plays a major role in most holiday celebrations. However, contrary to the popular belief that a person gains 5 to 10 pounds between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, research shows that the average person gains only about 1 pound each holiday season. Although it may not be the best time to attempt a serious weight loss program, it is realistic to set a goal of maintaining your weight and blood glucose control. Here are some tips to help you get started. Cut the fat and sugar. Make your holiday recipes healthier by reducing their fat and sugar content. Bring a healthy dish to holiday get-togethers. That way you can ensure there will be something tasty and nutritious for you to enjoy. Many of your fellow guests will thank you. Focus on activities that don't involve food. Attend holiday musicals or plays. Plan caroling parties. Get friends or family together to wrap gifts, decorate, or shop. Avoid holiday grazing. Calories consumed, tasting food while you're cooking, clearing the table, and socializing still count. A handful of nuts, a few cheese cubes and crackers, and a bite or two of candy can quickly add up to almost 500 calories. In fact, you may end up eating as much carbohydrate and calories as you would if you sat down and ate an entire meal. Keep carbohydrate consistent. If you're going to have a holiday treat, substitute it for other carbohydrate in a meal. Don't just add it to your regular foods. Skip the second helpings. Remember that limiting portions is the key to preventing weight gain and helps prevent blood glucose from going out of control. Plan for parties. Having a small snack before a party will take the edge off your hunger and make you less likely to overfill your plate or return to the buffet table for seconds. Once you've eaten, focus on socializing with other party guests. Be sure to move your socializing away from the buffet table, where the sight or smell of food might tempt you to eat more. Limit alcoholic beverages. Alcohol contains calories and sometimes carbohydrate, depending on your choice of drink. It also lowers your inhibitions, possibly making it harder for you to say no to food you wouldn't otherwise eat. To sidestep such problems, ask for a no-calorie sparkling water with a lime twist. Staying physically active during the holiday season can relieve your stress, improve your mood, lower your blood glucose levels, and help with weight control. While your busy holiday schedule may not allow you to participate in as much daily physical activity as you might like, there are ways to stay active. These tips can help. Encourage active holiday events. Plan parties around caroling, house decorating, holiday card making, snowman building, or walks to see neighborhood decorations. Your gift shopping trips can help burn calories and lower blood glucose. Park farther away from the mall entrance. Use the store's stairs, not the escalator. Arrive at the mall a bit early and speed walk around the mall until the stores open. Exercise. If it's impossible for you to find a block of 30 minutes each day for physical activity, split your activity into two or three intervals of 10 to 15 minutes each. Find something to laugh about. Laughing is a great tension reliever. It burns calories, reduces stress, and usually means that you're enjoying yourself. Research shows that laughter actually lowers blood glucose after meals. The study suggests that the positive effects of laughter may be due to increased calorie consumption or changes in the neuroendocrine system. Other studies note that laughter helps lower blood pressure, strengthen the immune system, and release endorphins. Overscheduling, overdoing, overspending. Holiday preparations can often lead to stress rather than serenity and satisfaction. Stress can affect blood glucose levels in several ways. The stress of overdoing and overscheduling may lead you to neglect your usual self-care plan. The body also reacts to stress by producing hormones that cause the liver to release a surge of glucose, leading to high blood glucose levels. On the other hand, if you're too busy to eat properly, your blood glucose can drop too low. Lastly, the benefits of yogurt. A study published in the Journal of Hypertension suggests a diet that includes a higher intake of yogurt can help lower the risk of cardiovascular disease in people who have high blood pressure. Earlier studies had indicated the consumption of dairy products not only had a helpful effect on cardiovascular health, but also were beneficial in conditions that often accompany cardiovascular disease, such as hypertension, type 2 diabetes, and insulin resistance. In this new report, researchers specifically concentrated on yogurt. The new researchers examined data collected from the Nurses' Health Study on over 55,000 women ages 30 to 55 with high blood pressure, data on 18,000 men ages 40 to 75 with high blood pressure were taken from a similar report titled The Health Professionals Follow-Up Study. The analysis of the data showed that women who reported consuming higher amounts of yogurt had a 30% lower risk of myocardial infarction or heart attack. And that is where we must leave you today. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.